I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to your Epiphany. As we come to this message today, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. We behold your Son, O God, with those wise men three. We, in our own individual hearts, by faith, claim your Son as our Savior. Thank you for that Son, thank you for that faith, thank you for this hope, that each and every day is a new day in the Lord. Each and every day is our Epiphany, because we live and move and have our being, O God, in you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me to page 3 in your worship folder, that would be helpful. No doubt, some of you were wondering, what exactly are we singing? Our music leader here in this sanctuary, our cantor, Philip Magnus, taught us last night, but I'll take the mantle and share with you this morning that those words there in the refrain, Ideo, 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 Gloria in Excelsis Deo, you know no doubt, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, to God all glory in the highest, but what is this Ideo? Is it a new idea? What is going on there? Ideo in the Latin means therefore, and we have here a triple therefore. Therefore, we sing Gloria in the highest to God, and we do that Gloria to the highest toward God because of all the verses we have just sang. There is a rule in the church that says when you come up against a therefore in Scripture, or elsewhere in theology, always ask the question, what is this therefore, therefore? Right? Well, let's learn. Let's learn together once again why this triple therefore, like a choir or choral triple alleluia, why this fanfare of consequence is before our eyes and in our mouths today. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. Let's find out exactly why this therefore is therefore. In that first paragraph, if you have a pen or at least a magic marker in your mind, if you would underline and make note of that question which the Magi asked, where is this newborn King of the Jews? In the original language, it's simply the born king. Where is this the born king? The having been born king. Where is he at? I want to start today by recognizing this truth and what is the cause of the therefore. We have a king who was born as a king. Which is probably not a shock to you because we've been celebrating it for 2 weeks now. But in our text, it is a shocker. Because up against this born king, we have another king in the second paragraph, King Herod. The adjective to describe that king is not born King Herod. Make a magic marker note in your mind, you're a highlighter. It is disturbed King Herod. In the original language, it is amazing how the phrase the born king and the disturbed king are in parallel construction to each other in the writing, in the narrative, in the language. And I point this out to you so that you fully understand what is the cause for our therefore. Why are we therefore, therefore, therefore singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo? The reason we are singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo is because we are not following a disturbed king, a king who got his throne by all kinds of other methods and manners of action. We are serving a king that came into this world, and from the first morning cry of our Savior Jesus Christ, he was the king of salvation, of our souls, of our hearts. Epiphany is a day where, like Christmas, but with greater fanfare and greater consequence, we recognize the born King Jesus, over and against King Herod, who is, we are told, disturbed. Not disturbed in a crazy way, but disturbed in an unsettled way. Which brings us to our second point. There is a consequence for those who gather around the king of your choice. The Magi gathered around King Herod. They came, we are told, in order to do one thing and one thing only. They came to worship him, literally to bend the knee, to bow down in prepared worship of this true king. On the other side, and this should not be missed in the text, disturbed King Herod is surrounded by none other than disturbed Jerusalem, the city of God, the people who were chosen to be God's prized possession on this planet Earth, with King Herod disturbed as he understandably is. Amazingly, God's people are disturbed with him. The offset between those two paragraphs, my brothers and sisters, should not be overlooked. And for that reason, when we come to this text, therefore, understanding what God miraculously, mysteriously is doing through this born king over and against all the disturbed forces of wickedness in this world and all the sociology and society that gather around those disturbed authorities, we give our praise to God by faith. We say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for coming and saving us through this baby born as a king. For we know that that comes with a consequence. We know there is an outflow from that inflow of heaven to this planet Earth we dwell in and occupy. This weekend, I've taken the opportunity to celebrate and recognize certain members of our congregation who, through their service, particularly writing books and other kinds of publications, they have impacted the larger church. They have provided fertile ground for other people to experience a therefore in life. And it was after my good friend Dale Kreienkamp, who was, by the way, the chairman of my call committee 12, almost 13 years ago, amazingly, it was after he wrote his book about walking through the depression, but without losing hope of the authority and leadership of God, walking through the uncertainty of unemployment, How Long, O Lord, his book, that I decided to celebrate all of our authors. Because this is one truth that I want to celebrate this Epiphany Day, is that every day is our epiphany. Every day is a day that we wake up under the authority of the born king, and we face down and confront all the evil outside of us, all the doubt and despair inside of us, and we say, I believe in that God, and I will not kowtow to all the little, so to speak, wannabe gods that vie for my attention and allegiance. And when we do that, we take our faith and apply it in very particular ways. Sometimes we take that faith and we apply it to our vocations. When we wake up and we thank God that today is our next new day of epiphany, we say, Lord, I've got several responsibilities in my life. How am I to be faithful to you in my vocations? Dale's book is about that, especially how are you faithful in your callings in life, the many callings we have in life outside of our careers. When we're in the midst of a time between one job and another job, how do we live still understanding that God has purpose for us? Dale's devotions that he wrote in that book are helpful. Not just for people who are unemployed, but people who are looking for help in making and transacting through the various devotions and vocations of life. I want to celebrate that today. Our own pastor, Steve Carter, is an author in our midst. He's written some devotional books that each and every day remind us that when we wake up, we are witnesses for God's prosecution of this earth. But even more so, we are witnesses for his salvation of all mankind. And I thank Dr. Carter, and I want to recognize Dr. Carter for the way in which he helps us remember that throbbing and pulsating underneath every one of our vocations as parents or children, citizens or residents or workers, employees, employers, whatever it is, the many callings of our life, those are opportunities for us to give a witness, to give a testimony to the great things that God has done. And maybe after this service, if you're thinking about how it is in 2019 that you can put your witness into action, that's a book you want to pick up out of the narthex. I'm mindful, and I had John Eckrich and Kathy Eckrich, medical doctor, medical nurse, who decided to leave that profession and go into a place of even greater therapy, soul therapy, because maybe 2019 for us is not about vocation. Maybe 2019 and the new epiphany that God invites us to is about therapy. It's about confronting the areas of not well-being, of soul disease that are at work in us. And you know, the three words or the three books that John has written in, like, I don't know, 4 months of being retired. John just keeps on writing books. I'm thankful. But if you know John Eckrich, he retired, and what does he do? Gets back to work. It's a classic Eckrich move. And so in short order, like, it takes some people like 10 years to write three books. He writes three books in like a year and a half. And the word that connects all three books? Wellness. Wholeness. Soul keeping. I know that many of you have come through 2018 and your soul is in disrepair. Not because of anything you have done, but simply because of the circumstances that have been inflicted on you by your body, by someone else, and you are ready for 2019 to be marked by wellness. Pick up one of John Eckrich's books today. Learn about wellness and wholeness. Remember that when the king is born, he is born to bring authority in this world so that our souls can be nurtured and healed and restored. It's new that we have Cheryl Magnus Philip, our cantor's wife, among us. And there's a great women's devotional that she has contributed to, He Restores My Soul. Again, a tribute to the fact of the restorative grace of God that we find in Jesus Christ. And especially for you ladies, as you live life as a woman in this world, with all the unique pressures that come to women in our world, maybe that is a devotional book that will help for 2019 to be a restorative year for you. And Cheryl and the other authors of that text will be glad that you would be blessed by it. Maybe that's a book you can pick up this morning. You know, the fact of the matter is, we have many different opportunities. Sometimes those opportunities are opportunities that come and they're unexpected, like a knock on the door. One of our members, Kay Meyer, leads Family Shield Ministries. And Kay is one of the most practically minded people I've ever met, along with her husband, Chad. They are get to work, get down to business kind of people. And one of the ways that Kay has blessed the larger Christian community is by giving help when there comes to your front door a knock and you open the door, as I once did about 23, 24 years ago on Vicarage. It was early morning, and the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. And I was leading a college ministry, which required me in college ministry to stay out late and get up late. That's how college kids work. And, you know, when you're with the Romans, you act like a Roman, in a certain respect, with college ministry. All of that to say, at 9 o'clock in the morning, it was understood in our congregation in Zion, Mount Pleasant, Michigan, don't bother the vicar before noon. It sounds terrible, but it was true. 9 o'clock in the morning, a knock comes on my door. The Jehovah's Witnesses were there. And I had to decide, in my pajamas, how to receive the Jehovah's Witnesses as they were there leading me astray. Kay Meyer wrote a book That's helpful, not just for that, but for understanding how do we put words to our faith. When we're talking with our kids or our grandkids, how do we put not just the right theology, but the right heart and compassion to our faith? And we may not see a whole lot of folks coming to our doors these days, I understand that, but there is always someone knocking at the door of our lives throughout the conversations of our days and weeks that needs to know Jesus. And I'm thankful for Family Shield Ministry and for Kay's work of helping us along that path. You see, there's a reason why we have therefores in our life as Christians. There's a reason why Jesus Christ came into this world. It's so that through our lives, in terms of wellness, our knowledge of God, the vocations we are given, the morality we live, we may give glory to Him. That's our goal today. And so I remind you that while we celebrate this historic day of Epiphany, it's not just a day that ends on January 6th. Your Epiphany is every day. The recognition that Christ has come, and therefore, our lives are a testimony to the glory of God in Jesus Christ, His greater glory. And for the sake of that Savior that we receive by faith, who has given us a promise that can never fade or spoil or perish, who has saved us not by our works but by His own grace, may we be led as children of light to walk in that light. And in agreement to which all of God's people say, Amen.